Welcome to Your Health Reset, where we address the real root causes behind health issues today to get you rapid results on your health journey so you can be who you came here to be, mind, body, and spirit. I'm your host, Sinclair Keneally, survivor of complex chronic illness, expert on resolving root causes, and co-founder of Detox Rejuvenation and Meditation RX. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of Your Health Reset with me, your host, Sinclair Keneally. And today we are talking about, some more of those unnameable experiences when you're healing from something deep and there's a lot of work to do. So this is a list of some of the things I wish I'd known when I was healing from chronic illness. First of all, and this is something that you probably don't want to hear, but it's going to take way longer than you think. And part of that process is growing your capacity to show up for yourself. So in the beginning, I had no capacity to show up for myself, and I was trying to survive my symptoms and push through. I would call that the survival stage, where I thought something was outside of me, was going to do all the work to fix me, whether it was a white coat or a magic bullet, some kind of pill that I paid for, and hopefully it was a one and done, right? And then I grew in capacity and curiosity from there as the symptoms got more urgent. And I started giving myself three whole days on a juice cleanse. And I told everybody about it. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this 3-whole-day juice cleanse. And I'm going to be so limited. And I have to actually focus on my body. And it's going to take so much energy and time and money. 3 whole days. This thing better cure me. Have you seen that Instagram meme where you're like staring at a puppy and you better fix everything that's wrong with my life, you little shit. It's like that. So when you have no capacity and you're still looking for that short-term bullet, but you're like growing out of that, you know, you're breaking out of your cocoon and you're starting to spread your wings. You don't necessarily understand very much about your symptoms yet or your body or really the full capacity and scope of what's available to you. And I know so many of you listening in have already zoomed through both of these stages, and that's awesome because most people never will. If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're in one of the later stages of health mastery, right? Where you're apprenticing and you're deep into the work of learning your systems and what your signals mean, right? Where you have really become a pioneer for health in your own life. And you're looking at all the ways that you can take your health all the way to the finish line, knowing that there is no real finish line. It's another thing I wish I had understood, that taking care of ourselves doesn't actually have an end, and it shouldn't. This should be the most important thing that we could possibly do, is to tend to this home for our eternal soul, this vessel, because it absolutely determines the quality of your life. That's another thing I wish I had understood. I was doing it in the beginning. I started like exploring and doing things very begrudgingly because I deeply believed that there was something wrong with me and that I had to fix it and that I was broken and nothing could be further from the truth. What I wish I had known from the start, and I had to really earn this as I learned it along the way, was that there was nothing about me that was broken. I just didn't have the capacity to be fully myself when my body wasn't in a position to do what it really knew how to do, which was to heal. Your body is brilliant. It absolutely knows what to do and will never outsmart the body. We need to work with the body. And so that's the other piece that I wish I had known. Something else that I wish I had known is that emotional work is not enough. So I came out of the personal development world, the mental health world. I had a thriving practice. I thought that was really the shortcut to winning at life, was being willing to work a process, do your therapy, do the release work, work a workshop, do the leadership stuff. And that was the way to get ahead, the way to win, the way to really be yourself, blah, blah, blah. And the way to get rid of, so to speak, anything that wasn't working about your body, your life. And the truth is, emotional work is not enough. And it's also most effective when you do it with the body and even through the body, because the body is where our emotions are produced, experienced, and stored. And it's also where they're released when we're ready to move on. We have the capacity to meet life in today instead of yesterday. something else I wish I had known, which is more at the physical level, is that pills will just not fix everything. Man, we were on the hunt for, in the beginning for me, it was medications because I thought, okay, if emotional work, if mental health work is not going to fix it, then it must be a prescription, right? Because prescriptions are the things that really work, right? Those come with side effects, very unfortunate ones. And they're not really designed to help the body restore its own capacity. So much of allopathic medicine is phenomenal for the acute, but not for the chronic. And I wish I had understood that as well. So if pills will not fix everything, they might still have a place though, right? Supplements are, it's true, mostly garbage. When you look at what's out there in the world, it's just astonishing. But there are some amazing herbals and mineral concoctions that are really phenomenal at supporting the body to reclaim its own capacity. But you need the right stack at the right time, and that will absolutely change at every stage of healing. And it's very much dependent upon what your root causes are, not as much dependent on what your symptoms are, more what your root causes are. More on that later. I also wish that I had understood food filters. This got really confusing in the beginning as I finally got committed, begrudgingly, trying different things out, and then out of necessity and desperation, and then finding my way somehow to hope because we finally figured out that root causes were part of the picture, or even, oh, that's right, the entire picture for us. So Michael and I looked completely different in our health issues. And we see this all the time in our practice, in our students. You might have a vast array of different symptoms as you come into, say, rapid gut reset or rapid liver reset, but your root causes are the same. So what do root causes look like? Mold toxicity, that's a huge one today. If you have gut issues or liver issues, if you have fatigue, if you have joint pain, if you have skin stuff, and it might look opposite from the person sitting next to you, but you both have mold. Right. So that's why I want you to go back and listen to our mold toxicity episodes, because we have a whole series about that to support you through it. So other root causes would be parasites, because they're there to mop up the toxins, including mold, heavy metals, industrial chemicals, plastics. Other root causes would be traumas that have been stored in the body, causing stagnation. It's nervous system dysregulation from trauma or from toxicity itself. It's very hard for the vagus nerve, for example, that 10th cranial nerve, the wandering nerve that's supposed to help you regulate, get into parasympathetic dominant state, to actually function properly when it itself is full of toxins, full of heavy metals, corroded and overreactive, right? So we need to understand these root causes. And this is something that I wish I had learned instead of chasing symptoms, waiting for someone to correctly diagnose me as if that would open up the heavens and release me from this pain, release me from this suffering, into that I had somehow earned my crown in heaven, as my Oma would say, for suffering long enough. Talk about a Catholic perspective, right? She used to say that all the time when she was doing something she didn't want to do. I'm earning my crown in heaven. But we don't have to do that with health. We don't have to do that with our symptoms. And so many of us wait and suffer through it until we finally have a diagnosis, and it's often an incorrect one. And then we chase a correct diagnosis as if that's finally going to free us. And then we still have the work of unpacking where we got overloaded and reclaiming our health, which may or may not be revealed through a diagnosis. I wish that I had understood more about those pieces, and I wish I had understood more about food's place in all of it, because so many of us can try out diet after diet, cleanse after cleanse, chasing food, afraid of food, going into full-blown orthorexia, afraid of eating something that is unhealthy for us, right? Getting down to a very limited diet. I was down to 3 foods for a long period of time, and those actually rotated. For a few months, it would be 3 foods, and then for a few months, it would be 3 other foods because I wouldn't be able to tolerate the original 3. We're not trying to eat the rainbow, though, when we're not well. That's more of a health maintenance concept. That's fantastic for a gut that functions well. It's not so good for somebody that's already on the back foot and has a very difficult time breaking down foods or absorbing your nutrients. And you may struggle with both of those issues. In fact, most people alive do, because you've been exposed to herbicides and pesticides in the foods themselves, and even toxic food additives in our processed foods and in the food packaging. So you could be spending all this money on organic food, but if it's packaged in plastic and it's leaching into your food, depending on what the food is, this is a part of the picture, right? Some of us ignore food and some of us overemphasize food. And I wish I had understood that food is a part of it, but we really want to be pragmatic about it. Understand the food filters that are out there and understand that we are bio-individual and that there's only so much that a diet guru can share because they're going to get obsessed with one food filter, eating low histamine, avoiding high oxalate foods, avoiding lectins, going grain-free, going protein forward, going vegan, blah, blah, blah. There's all these different ways, going carnivore. There's all these different ways that people are approaching food to heal right now. Some of them may work for you, many of them won't. But let's remember that the gut at a basic level, if you have chronic condition, you absolutely have your gut playing a part in it. And your gut would very much appreciate if you kept food simple, easy to break down, easy to absorb. And then from there, play with food filters and understand it's only one part. I also wish I had understood that regenerative therapies go a long way. And that can look like therapies you do in the home. Self-massage, fascia work, lymphatic drainage. So important. Coffee enemas, game changer, lifesaver. And yes, we do have an episode coming up soon about how to do a coffee enema and why. Really want to understand this piece because yes, when we think of regenerative therapies, we're like, oh, body work. And that is so helpful and important if you have access to it and if you can afford it, right? Visceral manipulation, awesome. Rolfing, very cool. There's lots of different acupuncture, phenomenal, right? If you can afford it, if you have access to it. And there's still a lot you can do in the home to support the body to regenerate, to support the tissue itself, to release, let go, replenish. Light therapies, phenomenal for this. And it doesn't have to be a $10,000 or $20,000 piece of equipment. For so many of us, that's out of reach, right? Michael and I bought one little light panel at a time, one cheap vibration plate, enema buckets. These are small things. All these little devices that we tried out, a bunch of them were junk, didn't help. And some of them were phenomenal and helped speed up the process immensely. I also wish we'd understood that Herx reactions are optional. We have a whole episode about this coming up. Herx reactions are optional, but some healing responses are not, right? Meaning just as the body uses a fever to flush things out, it has other strategies that feel like flares and symptoms, but are really a progression of healing. Does that make sense? So your skin might flare when you're right over the target and you're working the correct protocol to get out those parasites or flush out that mold, right? Might have a short-term flare. And on the other side of that might be a phenomenal new level of resilience. It's going to come very slowly and subtly, but it's there. So Herx reactions are optional, but some healing responses are not. And I wish that I had understood that early because so many people use good tools at the wrong time. And in the wrong dose. It doesn't make it a bad tool, but you get scared when you have a reaction and you decide it's a Herx reaction and something has gone wrong. That may be true, but you may have actually be right over the target and you just need a little bit of support in your protocol to usher this part of your healing through to the next stage. That's why we always, in every group course that we do, we always have three different paces at which you can go so that we can work with super sensitive people in a group format or people that have been deep into healing for a long time. And they're like, okay, I want to speed this up. Let's get to the deep stuff. Let's go. So we have the gentle healing lane, the slow and steady lane, and the deep healing green means go lane. And all three of those paces are absolutely appropriate at different stages of the game, of the healing process. So the wisdom is in learning your own body, learning what's a Herx reaction versus what's a healing reaction, and how fast is it safe and appropriate for you to go, making sure that you have all the right elements in your stack. The stack matters. The stack is everything. One isolated tool ain't gonna cut it. for recovering from chronic conditions that are driven by these root causes that have stacked up over time. The stack is what moves things forward. Everything in balance, every healing tool strengthening the power of the other healing tools in the stack, the elegance of not having too many things on board, just the bare minimum, just the right amount. I also wish I had understood a couple of things. Whew, this is hard to say without it getting heavy. And family and loved ones will not get what you are going through. Friends may try to support you, but they may also avoid you because you're at a lower vibration than they are when you're not well and they don't know how to help. So it's really common for people to start to distance themselves because they might try to be there for you for a short period of time. And then if you don't get on board, if you don't play ball, if you don't come back to normal, if you don't lift quickly enough, they get frustrated. They feel like you're not listening. They don't know how to help. They get very uncomfortable. It's really hard to be around sick people if you don't understand what's happening. And I had many friends who I would have thought, oh, wow, we're absolutely going to go through life together. These are the most important people to me in the world. And they straight up ghosted me, man. Or they wanted to. Or they wanted me to use their methods for healing. And when they didn't get the response that they wanted, then they distanced themselves. They slowly drifted. And that was the right thing for them to do. And they didn't owe me anything. Yeah, it was really painful. But on the other side of it is so much healing and getting to build a community that matches who you really are today, right now, on the other side of the healing. One of the most important things, I went to a homeopath who was actually really crappy, but one of the most important things she said to me during the time that we worked together, because I was talking about how lonely I felt, how embarrassing that was, and how I just felt totally at sea in my own life. And she looked at me and she was like, guess what? If you were hanging out with people right now, the people you'd be a match to would be energy vampires and people who are super low like you. No, it's not a good use of your time and energy. Get excited about being lonely. She actually had a great point and it really helped. So I hope it helps you. One of the things I really want to emphasize is that, yes, being witnessed and being held is absolutely a part of the healing process. And you can do that for yourself, right? Prefer to see you do it in community, hopefully in a community that gets you. But it's probably not the group of friends that you were spending time with before you got sick. That would be wonderful if it was, but they would have to be down for healing work and this journey in a way that is unusual and very special. So if you have those people, treasure them. That's wonderful. But don't expect it, right? Don't expect it from your family either for the reasons we already covered. They are going to want to maintain homeostasis, maintain normalcy. They want you to play your role that you grew up with, that you play so well, so that everyone else can play their role and maintain stability, right? That's what a family system does. They want to maintain stability. And they'll keep repeating the work and the outlay and the themes, the hurts, the traumas, the gifts of your lineage, generation after generation, unless someone keeps raising their hand to do the healing work. And guess what? If you're listening to this podcast, it's probably you. Congratulations, right? And that's okay. It's actually really great to be that person. Once you take full ownership and you realize that your family's bullshit does not get to determine the quality of your future or even your present. Just don't expect them to understand. Let's start there. How could they? They are not in your body. You have to be your own advocate. And that's one of the things I wish I'd known at the beginning as well. Another one of those hard-earned things. That I am my own advocate and no one ain't no one is going to do it for me. I was very lucky in that I lost everything and everyone except for Michael. And he refused to give up on me and he was there for me. He loved me. He had a lot of the solutions and connecting the dots. And he was my buddy and my partner in the deep healing work, but he couldn't do it for me. And often he wanted me to do things in a way that was absolutely not right for me. He was speaking from the way that was right for him, and I had to be my own advocate and come up with my own protocols as my own practitioner. And that balance of our two extremes is part of how our practice was born, recognizing that people who are chronically ill are going to need a range of approaches as you deal with the root causes of what has gone wrong, right? So you can reclaim your own vibrant health. One of the things that I wish that I had understood along this process is that illness is an initiation into a deeper experience of the true self, your soul. It's one of the best ways I have ever seen to actually purge old versions of ourselves, to let them dissolve and break away into compostable material to make way for the new you that you have become underneath this. It's like a fever that must break. You got to sweat out the old so that a new, healthier, more up-to-date version of you can fully inhabit your body. And it is so magical for that. So I wish I'd known that all along the way. It would have made things so much more graceful. And as soon as I figured it out, everything started speeding up and falling into place. And yeah, it took some work after that. It took a couple more years. But I could see the progress, and I trusted myself and I trusted my body. And I was willing to do the work. And I was no longer in a rush to just, get this over with so I could go back to my old life, because that's not what this was for. This was so that I could be who I really am now. So the last thing that I really wish I'd known was that taking care of my body and doing the deep healing work with my body is actually the shortcut to that sublimely spiritual experience that I craved. It was actually the fastest way to understand God, to understand my part in the universe, because my body is my vessel for my soul. It's my way into this experience. So the more I tend to it, the more I elevate the quality of this experience. And if I were to ignore it, then I would really be missing out on the most phenomenal aspects of being alive, of being human, of being a soul in a body. So I hope that helps. Remember that you're never alone on this journey. You have lots of people on this planet going through a similar deep exploration of what healing is for them. So just tune in, tap into that knowing now. And if it resonates, make sure that you share this with someone today, someone who needs to hear it. And we will see you very soon.
Thanks for listening. Go to detoxrejuvenation.com to find the links in the show notes to everything we covered in this episode. Please subscribe, review, and share with other humans who need this precious information. Let's help each other. Until next time, love, Sinclair.